Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 15, verse 9. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 9. The Bible says, "The way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord, but he loveth him that followeth after righteousness." Now look what it says there. The way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord, but he loveth him that followeth after righteousness. So today what we want to look at is we want to look at abominable wickedness, that is, wickedness from God's eyes. And the first thing, of course, that we see from the text is the way of the wicked is abomination to the Lord. And we're going to see from the Bible several things the Lord specifically states are abominable to him. And you are to avoid these things like the plague, because he loveth him that followeth after righteousness. So the first thing that's abomination to the Lord is the way of the wicked. All right, frankly, Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." The acceptable way for God Almighty is the way of Jesus Christ, not the way of all these other things that vie for your attention and your allegiance. Hollywood is not the way of the Lord. People have come to a place where they just tolerate the sex and the violence and the language in the movies that they like to watch, thinking, well, it's okay, I'm not subjected to this myself anyway. Those things are abominable to God. The way of the world is abominable to God, because he says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world." And yet, Christians have become very worldly and very comfortable being worldly. And the Bible says the way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. Why would you pursue the way of the wicked, that is, their worldliness, their Hollywood, their sports figures, and whatever else seems to be gathering the attention of the world these days, and be so allured to that, that you absolutely find yourself enjoying things that God finds abominable? I mean, the sports figures. Day after day after day in the news, what do you find? Cheaters. Covetous cheaters. Making millions of dollars, not satisfied therewith. They have to take dope in order to be able to do better. Steroids, EPO, testosterone, whatever that may be. Hollywood, absolutely against the Lord Jesus Christ, sex, violence, the world, and yet Christians are enamored with these things that God finds abominable. Now, the reason we're studying this, obviously, it happens to be the text that we're in, because Proverbs 15:9 was the next proverb in line of the ones that we're studying. But I'm telling you, it is a real testimony to the wickedness that has infiltrated Christianity, when people are more concerned about seeing these things here, Hollywood, worldliness, sports, than they are the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ or his words. I know there are a lot of Christians today that profess to be Christians that are not reading their Bibles, but they can sure tell you what the latest five runs are from Hollywood. What's wrong there? They're beginning to fall in love with things that are abominable to God. And God's not happy with that. And so we have to point out from the Bible what God finds abominable, so we can look at it from God's eyes and say, you know, I oughtn't to be messing around with that stuff anymore. All right, abominable wickedness. The first thing that God finds abominable is the way of the wicked. What else does he find abominable? Homosexuality. Look in Leviticus chapter 18. You know, people have, they come up with all kinds of criticisms and critical names, and the media really supports all of this, you know, where it's taboo to say from the Bible what God thinks about anything. Well, I'm telling you what God thinks about homosexuality. The Bible says in Leviticus 18:22, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. So what? I'm entrusted with the call to the ministry in a country that believes in the freedom of speech? Huh? And yet I'm not allowed to say what God said about it? I most certainly am. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. And he didn't just say it once. In the mouth of two or three witnesses is every word established. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 13. If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. God said that abomination was so bad it was worth the death penalty when he set up the law. God finds that abominable. And yet the Christianity in the world has just tried to placate that. You've got homosexuals now that have been elected into pulpits of certain denominations that were formerly very strong Christian denominations. You've got Christians that are very sympathetic with homosexuality because they've been led to believe by the media that it's genetic and not a matter of choice. You have all kinds of people that are afraid now to say anything about it because they've been beat down by the media and their breath has been taken away. God says it's abominable, and there's nothing wrong with telling the world what God said about it. It's abominable. What else does God find abominable? Abominable wickedness. Adultery. Look in Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 11. This sin has become so popular, it's infected the pulpits of pastors all across the United States. Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 11. And one hath committed abomination with his neighbor's wife, and another hath lewdly defiled his daughter-in-law, and another in thee hath humbled his sister, his father's daughter. Look what he says. One hath committed abomination with his neighbor's wife, defiled his daughter-in-law, and humbled his sister. Incest and adultery. And you know what God says about it? It's abominable. It is an abomination. But the stuff goes on all the time, and there's no wonder it's been portrayed as something that's acceptable to this society where it was taboo a generation ago. And everybody does it, and so it should be okay, and they've brought it up in high school. Look, these guys that are in high school that are with these girls, and these girls have had five or six sexual partners and babies by two or three different men. How in the world are they going to be suitable? How in the world, when they get married, if they don't come to a place of recognizing the abomination of that sin and knowing what God thinks about it and getting saved and following the leadership of the Holy Spirit in their lives, how are they ever going to turn from that sin which God finds abominable? Now, there are women who have. There are women who were promiscuous in their younger age and have had children by more than one man that have gotten saved, and they are living very godly lives today. And I think it's a wonderful thing. I'm very happy for what the Holy Spirit is doing in their lives and the way they yield to the Holy Spirit of God in order to live lives that are free from that sin now. But you know, one of the things they had to do is they had to recognize that God said about that sin, it is abominable. And there are a lot of Christians who don't see that. There are a lot of professing Christians that are in fast-growing, sensual churches today that think it's perfectly all right to date around and sleep around while they're dating until they find the right mate. They think there's nothing wrong with that at all. And that's in a lot of these feel-good, oom-pa-pa type churches. That thing is common knowledge. It's been that way for 20 years. Now, not everybody in the churches like that does that. But it is a practice, as I've been told by people that are in those churches, it is a practice to do that very thing, to sin. That's not right. God says it is abomination. Daniel chapter 7, verse 25. I'll show you another thing that's abomination. This one shows up over and over again. I just happened to pick this one particular verse of Scripture for the abomination. Daniel chapter 7, verses 25 and 26. But it has to do with idolatry. The worship of statues. And I know the old excuse, I've heard it used so many times before, we don't worship the statues, we only use them as aids to worship. The Bible says God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And an image, therefore, is not necessary as an aid to worship. As a matter of fact, it detracts from the worship. Daniel chapter 7, verse 25, he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And you know what I've just done? I've just read Daniel chapter 7, verse 25, and I know there's an abomination that shows up in there, but it's not Daniel. And I thought, when I was giving that to you, I thought to myself, this isn't the right verse of Scripture. It's Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7. I abbreviated it, D-E-U, and when I looked down at it with my poor old eyes, I saw D-A-N. Well, just forgive me that. Read through there and say, where does it say in that verse of Scripture that idolatry is an abomination? Oh, brother. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 25 and 26. The graven images of their gods shall you burn with fire. Thou shalt not desire the silver or gold that is on them, nor take it unto thee, lest thou be snared therein. For it is an abomination to the Lord thy God. Neither shalt thou bring an abomination into thine house, lest thou be a cursed thing like it. But thou shalt utterly detest it, and thou shalt utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing. You know what he's telling you? Don't bring a statue into your house. I've done a lot of visitation, and it's been a great blessing to lead souls to the Lord Jesus Christ and preach the gospel to those who haven't gotten saved yet. But it's an amazing thing when you sit down in the living room and look around on the shelves and see the statues of Mary. Look up on the wall and see the crucifixes with Jesus Christ still hanging on the cross, when in fact he's not there anymore. He's already risen. Those things are idols. They're idolatry. And the Bible says it is an abomination to the Lord thy God. As a matter of fact, when he gave the law concerning idolatry, he said he would hold them guilty for several generations that practiced that thing. And that's the curse that you bring into your family when you do that. And he says people that worship those idols in Exodus chapter 20 hate me, he said. They hate me. Yet they say they love me. He said, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. And that's concerning the sin of idolatry. It's terrible. It's an abomination to God. Listen, there are people that profess to be saved that grew up in a church that had statues. And they've gotten saved, and they continue to hang around the church that has statues. And God says those things are an abomination to me. My only question to you is simply this. When are you going to take God's side in the argument? If Scripture is of equal authority with tradition, when are you going to take God's side in the argument when he said those things are an abomination to me? All right, the next sin, and we just group these all together, is sorcery that God finds abominable. Sorcery, Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 9 through 12. We just group them all together. They really fall into a multitude of sins here. When thou art come into the land, this is Deuteronomy 18:9. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you any one that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination. We have politicians now that use divination. Or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Now, he said it three times in the verse. Abomination. Abomination. For doing what? For doing something that a lot of people are doing today. Ouija boards, horoscopes, that kind of thing. Seances, palm readers. You may be involved in that. You may be involved in that right now, professing yourself to be a Christian. Get away from it. God says it's abominable. Get away from it. Read his Bible instead. Pray. Trust the Lord. Abominable wickedness. The way of the wicked. Homosexuality. Adultery. Idolatry. Sorcery. What else? Corrupt commerce. This is a bad testimony. People say, our economy is so good here in the United States of America. God says he finds corrupt commerce an abomination. Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 13. Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 13. Our economy is based on funny money. It's just like Monopoly. They'll wake up one of these days that find that the emperor doesn't have any clothes. They just haven't done it yet. The economy booming robustly. What? On credit card debt and national debt that exceeds $8 trillion in direct obligations of the United States government? Come on. Come on. That's not a robust economy. What that is, that is some growing numbers. That's something that's keeping inflation sort of manageable while people make huge salaries and so forth for doing the same kind of work they always did before. Just all they've done is just raise the price by throwing money into the system. Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 13. Deuteronomy 25, verse 13. Thou shalt not have in thy bag divers weights, a great and a small. Thou shalt not have in thine house divers measures, a great and a small. But thou shalt have a perfect and just weight. A perfect and just measure shalt thou have, that thy days may be lengthened in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. For all that do such things, and all that do unrighteously, are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. Now he says here, don't have divers weights and don't have divers measures. What's he talking about there? Well, back in those days, they would measure out an ephah of corn, for instance. Well, if the guy had at divers measures, he'd have one that was marked ephah, but it would only be, what, 7/8 the size of the right one? And so the guy was getting shorted but paying full price. Or a divers weights. Somebody was going to buy something that was weighed out to him, so they had standard weights, and they would drop the weight on one side of the scale and then what they were measuring on the other side of the scale. Let's say the guy was going to measure an ounce of gold, but the fella that used the standard only put an object weighing 7/8 of an ounce of gold. How about that? So he weighs out 7/8 of an ounce of gold and sells it to you as a full ounce and gets the price for a full ounce. That's corrupt commerce. And that kind of thing takes place worldwide and particularly in the United States of America all the time. All the time. We used to measure things on the gold standard here. And now there's no measurement. The measure today is whether or not the person that accepts the dollar bill from you will still accept it in exchange for the goods you're fixing to buy from him. At the very day that he says, I no longer want that piece of paper, which represents nothing more than an obligation of your government to pay me, in the same worthless bills that you're trying to pay me now. When a fellow says, I'll no longer accept that, that's when you're going to find out what this economy is really made of. It's funny money. It's not robust. It is corrupt commerce. And if you believe that it's good, you've been fooled. And God says, I find that abominable, because there's now no measure, none whatsoever. Oh, they have all kinds of measures to tell you how good the economy is doing, but I mean, there's nothing to value your dollar against. I mean, it's like playing Monopoly, and I run out of money, so I go to the store while the game is going on, buy another set of Monopoly, reach into that Monopoly, and bring more money to the table, and I keep playing. That's not legal, that's not right, but that's exactly how the government plays the game. And it's wrong through the Federal Reserve. Okay, what else does God find abominable? See, you got to get God's perspective on this thing. You have to see it the same way that God sees it. Look at it the same way that God sees it. You say, well, that other thing you just said about the economy is pessimistic. Well, it just teaches you not to put your faith in money. Put your faith in the Lord God. He can provide for you, but that dollar will not always be able to do that. That dollar makes wings and flies away. That's why they got an eagle on it. Proverbs chapter 6, look at verses 16, 17, 18, 19. There are actually seven things here, six. One of them is repeated. But these things are abominable to the Lord. The Bible says in Proverbs 6:16, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. All right, what are they? Pride, lying, and murder in verse 17. A proud look. If you're arrogant, you're an abomination to the Lord. a lying tongue. If you're a liar, you're an abomination to the Lord. And hands that shed innocent blood, like abortion doctors, that's a good one, boy. That's a good one. You know what God says about that? It's abomination. Verse 18. What else does he hate? A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Well, buddy, then he finds the entire country of the United States of America, with the exception of a handful of people, abominable, because I don't know an American, saved or lost, that doesn't have a wicked imagination today with all the crap that's been forced down our ears through the wicked music and down our eyes through the wicked stuff that you can view publicly. Wicked imaginations. Feet that be swift in running to mischief. Mischievous people. Gangs. God finds that stuff abominable. Thieves and muggers and people that swift to run to mischief. And then what else in verse 19 does he find abominable? A false witness that speaketh lies. Well, that'll be pretty much everything that goes on in the courtroom. Courtrooms today, not so much oriented toward finding out all the facts, because so much evidence is withheld in court. Pretty much just measuring by the law whether or not how much sentence to give the guy that's on the stand. Pretty much in a lot of cases guilty until proven innocent, even though that's not the burden of the law. It's a topsy-turvy deal. Discord, he that soweth discord among brethren. He that soweth discord among brethren. That takes care of a lot of church splitters right there, because they sow discord among the brethren. You see, to be in a synchronized chord, like a musical instrument, you take a piano, there are a lot of what they call sympathetic strings in that piano, so you play one note, but it gets this real full sound, and that's because the vibration of that string causes other strings in the piano to vibrate with it. They're sympathetic, and it gives it a beautiful, full sound. When the thing is discordant, one of those strings is not going to be tuned properly, and when the note is hit, it goes boing. And God says, I find that abominable when somebody is out of harmony with the local congregation. It's discord among brethren, trying to break up a good thing that God has done. And it happens all the time. All the time. I don't believe I've ever been in a church that hadn't had discord by somebody that was sowing discord among the brethren because of envy, because they weren't getting their own way, because of pride, because of unrighteousness. Whatever the case may be, they were just there to stir up trouble. I've seen it over and over and over and over again. And God says, I find it abominable. What else? Proverbs chapter 17, verse 15. You're just getting a full load here today. I mean, God just basically finds most of what we stand for abominable when you look at it. I'm talking about what we stand for as a society, not what we stand for individually. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 15. He that justifieth the wicked and he that condemneth the just, even they both are abomination to the Lord. Well, that's a corrupt judicial system, and God finds it abominable. A system that will justify the wicked is a system that will let the murderer go free. And man, they go free. He'll let the thief go free and protect the victim. That is an abominable system. Here's a guy caught red-handed. He's got all the evidence against him, thrown out of court on a technicality because the courts are run by the trial lawyers that were trying the cases before the bench before he ever became the judge. Corruption, man. Corruption. And God says, I find it abominable. If you justify the wicked and condemn the just, it's abominable. And that happens in this country a lot. And it's abominable. At least in our churches, don't justify the wicked. Okay, it doesn't make any difference how much money he has. It doesn't make any difference how much authority he has in the church. If he's wicked, don't justify him. And don't condemn the just. Finally, look in Luke chapter 16, verse 15. Oh, we're covering the big gamut today. Luke 16, 15. What does God find abominable? He finds self-righteousness, self-justification abominable. Luke 16, 15, he saith unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. You justify yourselves. That's self-righteousness, that's self-justification. That's a man that weighs himself in his own balance and says, certainly I should be able to pass the judgment of God with my righteousness, because in my estimation, see that thing highly esteemed among men, in my estimation, I am worthy. Oh my goodness. churches in the United States of America are filled with this kind of hypocrite. Filled with this kind of hypocrite. Men that have evaluated their own lives because of their membership, because of their baptism, because of their good works, and have decided in their own mind that they're justified before God, and God says, I find that abomination. You've highly esteemed that among men, and it's an abomination in the sight of God. He can't stand it. Self-righteousness is what Adam and Eve did when they hid themselves in fig leaves. Self-righteousness is what the nation of Israel did when they condemned Jesus Christ to the cross. And I'm telling you, boy, God put that stuff down quicker than you can say amen. So we've got a big, thorough list here today. We are getting a view, not based upon what the media and society has trained us to believe about these things, because pretty much everybody's accepting the wickedness today. God says, I don't accept it. I find it abominable, and it won't be here during the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. What did he find that was abominable? The way of the wicked, Hollywood, world, cheating sports figures, covetous, greedy, hungry, just terrible. Homosexuality, adultery, idolatry, sorcery like witchcraft, divination, Ouija boards, familiar spirits, horoscopes, observers of times, palm readers, witches, necromancers, that kind of stuff, corrupt commerce, the kind that drives our economy, pride, lying, murder. He finds it abominable. We accept it. Try the guy, say, oh, don't kill him. And by all stretch of the imagination, if you're going to kill him, don't use a lethal injection. We don't want to hurt the poor guy. I know he stabbed the woman 17 times and beat her mercilessly before he stabbed her and raped her, but, oh, my God, don't hurt him when you kill him. Wicked imaginations, mischief, corrupt judicial systems, self-righteous hypocrites. That's what God finds abominable. Oh, my. That is a terrible testimony to the condition that we're in, because a lot of these things people in this country find very acceptable. It just shows you how far removed we are from the righteousness of a holy God. Thank the Lord that Jesus Christ is coming back to this earth soon. It's going to be terrible during the tribulation, but then he's going to set up his own kingdom. And when he does, none of this stuff is going to be going on. And there won't be any newspaper press around there to force this stuff on you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Thank God. Thank God.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.